Oh, glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I love coming to church. And it doesn't matter if there's two or three or four, two, four, six, seven, eight, or ten. I just love it when God's people come together to seek Him. I absolutely love it. Praise the Lord. And it's always an honor and privilege to get to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to just open with prayer tonight. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you and we just worship you and we just ask you, Lord, to have your way, oh God. Lord, we ask you to move. We just ask you to speak into the deep places in us tonight, oh God. Holy Spirit, do what it is that you do, Father. Just have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, Father. Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you, my precious Lord. Oh, precious Father, we are just so glad to be in your house tonight. We are so blessed to be here, Lord Jesus. And we are just so grateful because you are such a good, good God. You are great and you are mighty, Father. And I just praise you and I just give you thanks, precious Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your love covers us and your mercy and your grace surrounds us, oh God. Now, Lord, I'm just so grateful, Father, for all that you've done for your people, oh God. Lord, I'm so grateful for this place to gather, Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to fill this place. Fill it, Father, for your glory. Fill it, Father, for your purposes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Oh, ever since the retreat, which was last weekend, I keep waking up every morning singing that part of the song, Prepare the Way of the Lord. And I'm not really like great at singing, but I'm going to give it a shot. But because this is how I'm doing it at home. I'm just going, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord. And I started meditating on that because I keep waking up with that going in my spirit. And I'm like, okay, what's it mean exactly, Lord? What is it you're trying to tell me? And you know, when we're singing it, that's actually out of the Bible, by the way, out of a verse in Isaiah, which that whole song was taken from a verse in Isaiah. And when it's saying prepare the way of the Lord, remember when Jesus was coming into the city and they laid down garments before him, they laid down palm things before him, they were preparing the way for him to walk through. Well, now we don't have to lay down palm trees, we don't have to lay down our cloaks, but what we do have to lay down is our heart. So now how that song applies to us, prepare the way of the Lord, it's prepare your heart for the Lord because he's coming. Prepare your heart for what the Lord's going to do because he's moving. And as sure as Jesus rode in on that donkey, the Lord is coming and wants to go right through us and minister to the people around us. And so I've just been singing that song all day for days. And I can't stop singing it. And I just, every time I'm just cooking in the kitchen or doing school with the kids, I just bust out at random, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, because I believe something great is coming and I want to usher it in. I want to do my part. And so this morning, I heard Logan in the bathroom. And he was going, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. That's awesome. It catches when the joy of the Lord fills us and when his presence is moving through us, it spreads like a fire. And we need to be conscious of that. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare our hearts. What needs to be moved? What needs to be changed? What needs to be cleaned up? What needs to be dressed up? Prepare the way because the Lord wants to move through you. Prepare your life. Prepare your heart. Get ready for what the Lord's doing. Hallelujah. That is absolutely not my message. Just saying. Don't know where the Lord was going with that, but I just can't get it out of my heart or off my mind, and I don't want to. Go with me in your Bibles, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The title of this message is My Crooked Ways Made Straight. And I heard this, or I read this, I don't know where, but I'm going to say this. It doesn't go with my message, but it struck me. And it says, the way of the faithful is committing to pay the price even if you don't know the cost. Yep, okay, thank you, Lord. It's going to go with this message exactly. Who knew?
God is good.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understandings. Do you know what that means, on your own understandings? On what you know, or what you think you know. Have you ever known something, and you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew you were positive you were right? And you were right, but nobody believed you. And because they didn't believe you, even though you knew the Lord was speaking to you, you let it go. You know, when we know something through Holy Spirit, we're not leaning on our own understanding. The people who didn't know what you knew, they were leaning on their own understanding because they hadn't gotten Holy Spirit enlightenment to whatever it was the Lord was showing you. So they believed what they knew was the right thing and what you knew was the wrong thing. But there's a lot of times where that shoe's on the other foot, where we think we know, but then we find out we really don't know. We were wrong. Because we make wrong choices, we do the wrong thing. And see, that's when we're leaning on our own understanding. And you know, in those moments, we're not trusting our ways to the Lord. We're trusting our own opinion, our own knowledge to be greater than God's. Wow, do you think you know more than God? But haven't we been in that position? I have been I'm sure pastor's never been there. But I have been there way too many times to number where I got this. I don't need to ask the Lord about this. I know this. I could do this on my own. And then we kind of end up in a bit of a jam, right? So this verse is saying, lean not to your own understandings. Don't trust what you think you know. It's always better to trust what God knows. Okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understandings. I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Version because it's better. It says this, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, being God, if there's any question there, and He will direct and make straight and plain your path. Oh, gosh, there's so many things in this verse. Okay, first let's go to this. Do we trust the Lord at all moments, in all our ways? I'm going to just answer that. Nobody else needs to answer that. No, we don't. Or we'd never have worry. We'd never feel stressed. We'd never have doubt. We'd never be afraid. We'd never be offended. We'd never be angry. Because if we trusted Him with all of our hearts, and we weren't leaning to our own knowledge or understanding or opinion, none of those things could ever happen to us. Because we would know, I'm here, there's a purpose here, God's going to fix it, or He's going to take care of it, and this is all going to work for the glory of God. But we do get stressed. We do get worried. We do get afraid. We do get emotional. We do all of those things. It's because in those moments, we are not leaning on His understanding. We're leaning on our own. Of our own understanding of the situation. Or our own understanding of what was said. So do we trust the Lord with all of our heart? Well, sometimes. But do we all the time? No, we don't. I love this story where the man comes up to Jesus in the Bible for healing. The Lord asks him, do you believe? And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. He believed, but there was still doubt in there. There was still fear or lack of understanding. Isn't that kind of where we are a lot? Which is sad, right? I mean, gosh, with all of our experience with the Lord, we shouldn't ever, ever be there, because has he ever failed you? I have never met a single person God failed. I have met people that said God failed me, but when you hear the story, you realize the failing was not God's part in any way. Right? Oh, praise the Lord. But he's looking for our whole heart to trust him with all of our heart, with all of our emotions, with all of our feelings, with all of our thoughts, with all of our ideas and our opinions, with all that we are, to trust him. Hallelujah. Do we acknowledge him in all of our ways? Do you know what it means to acknowledge him? It means to turn to him. If I'm going to acknowledge Pastor, I'm just walking down the street, I'm going to turn to him and speak to him. Hey, Pastor. That is to acknowledge. But if I don't and I just keep going, that's not acknowledging. So if we're doing something, we're going somewhere, and we don't consult the Lord, we just keep on doing it, we're not acknowledging God with our ways. Do you acknowledge him when you get up in the morning? Hey, Lord, good morning. Let's have a great day together. Use me. Move through me. Keep your hand over my mouth, because that's the most necessary thing I need. Or do we get up and go our business, go about our day, do our things? You know, I'm going to admit this, sorry, and it's horrible, but I have made it through a whole day without acknowledging God once beyond good morning. And that's sad. It's sad because he wants us to acknowledge him in everything you do. You know, imagine him, the place for me, he would be sitting at my kitchen table. Because that's where I do school. That's where I cook the food. It's central to where the living room is. So that in everything, Lord, I'm folding clothes now. Hi, I love you. I'm just talking to you. You know, I really love that song we played. I hope you enjoyed it, Lord. I'm going to cook, Father. I just thank you for the provision for this food. Thank you for all that you're doing. Are we acknowledging him? Or are we just like super busy about our day? I've made it through a whole day without acknowledging him. And I dropped into bed at the end of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, I forgot about you today. You were sitting there. I know you were there and I didn't acknowledge you. I read my word, and I didn't acknowledge you in it. I just read to get it done. And I did this, and I didn't acknowledge you in it. I just did it, Lord. I thought, oh, Lord, I feel so horrible. I am so sorry. I'm such a horrible friend. I'm such a horrible friend. Help me, Lord. Help me to do better. Because there are moments we don't acknowledge him. We're just busy doing what we're doing. But he wants us to acknowledge him. He wants to be a part of everything we're doing. There are two things about this verse that I want to talk to you about. The first part, one, is this. These verses are promises of God. And it has two parts and a condition. The first part, or the condition, is our job. It says, we are to trust, to recognize, and to acknowledge God in everything we do. That is the first part. The second part is the fulfillment of the promise. It's what God is saying. If you do this, this is your part, this is my part. And God's part is the promise to us. It's he will direct our path. He will make the way straight before us. That is so important. Sometimes we think, you know, the word is filled with blessings. There's a, you know, some say it's 2,500 and some say it's 2,200. The Bible is packed with promises, but the promises often come in a two-part. It comes with your part, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and then it gets to his part, and he will make your path straight. This says straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. But for that second part to happen, we have to fulfill our part of the promise. We have to do our part. And you know, so many times we're going through life and we're like, Lord, I don't understand why you're not making this way straight. I don't get it, Lord, why you're not doing this or doing that. But you know, we haven't done our part yet. We haven't acknowledged him, one, in what we're doing. We're not trusting him with our whole heart. So until we do our part, his hands are tied. And do you know why? Because you would think, well, he's God. Nothing can tie his hands. Not true. God is bound by his word. God is literally bound by his word. He does not operate outside his word. He will never give a prophecy outside his word. He will never give a word of knowledge outside of his word. So should someone ever say to you, well, the Lord says divorce the wife you're with and marry this woman. Let me tell you now and ahead of time, that is not from God. Because God is bound by his word. His word is law, and he lives and fulfills the law. He will never operate in anything he does outside of his word. The problem with that is for us, not for God, is that we are not bound by his word. Obligated, perhaps, but not bound. And what does that mean exactly? It means we don't have to obey him. It's optional. It's a choice. If we don't fulfill the first half of the promise, he can't fulfill his promise. Because we've not lived his word. We've not trusted in him. Does that mean that God doesn't bless people who doesn't trust him? No, not at all. God is delightful. He is marvelous. And he does bless people that don't live by his word. But this promise that he will make the way straight and that he will remove all obstacles, that promise is bound by the words that come before. And we have to understand that if we want the crooked places made straight, then we have to do the first part and trust in him with all of our heart and not leaning to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. So have you ever been going on that journey we're on and you got to a crooked spot? How did that happen? If he's going to make our crooked ways straight, what's it mean if we end up in a crooked spot? Maybe we ran ahead. Do you know that we can run ahead of God? We can run ahead. We can get so excited with something he's told us or with where he's leading us that we can just jump and run ahead. And then wait a minute, there's something here for you. Wait a minute. And we're up there, and now we're crying because it's crooked when we didn't wait on him to guide us. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, this might not be you. It might just be me. Go with me in Daniel chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Whoa. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read at verse 16. It says, Shadrach, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing these correctly, so just give a little grace for me, please. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, okay, so this is after they've been taken captive and taken to Babylonia. And they are before the king. They've been called before the king. He has made them... King Nebuchadnezzar, did I say that right, or is that one pronounced different? Good. Okay, so King Nebuchadnezzar has made a rule in the kingdom and erected this beautiful statue of himself, the Almighty God. And he has said that when they hear the music in the city, that wherever you're at, you are to drop to the floor and to worship the idol. And well, these three Hebrew men refused to do that. So they got taken before the king for their disobedience to worship this idol. And this is the conversation. And they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now the king's just told him, if you don't bow down and worship my idol, I have said that those who don't bow down and worship the idol will be thrown in the fiery furnace. And this is where you're headed. If there was ever a crooked lane, that was it. If there was ever a moment where you looked ahead and you saw a crooked path, this would have to be it. The king is telling them, you either do this because I am the king here, or you're going into the fiery furnace. Doesn't matter how good of slaves and servants you've been, what matters is that you worship me. So this is a conversation, and this is them answering the king, telling them to do this. And he said, and he, meaning God, will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if he doesn't deliver us from your hand, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know, they're saying, look, it doesn't matter what you're going to do to us. What matters is we're going to serve our God. And he has said, before no one else do we worship, before no graven idols, before no images are we allowed to worship. Now remember what I said about faith? Faith was willingness to pay the price even if you didn't know the cost. They couldn't, you know, they didn't know the cost here. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew they had to take a stand for what was right. They were preparing the way for the Lord to move. Their hearts were set to the Lord no matter what was coming. And that had to have looked like a crooked moment. Whoa, Lord, hello. Maybe they thought, well, he'll not go through it. He'll relent. He'll relent because God's at work here. He'll relent. But he didn't relent. And it says that in their turbans and in their coats and in their breeches, everything, they were marched to the furnace. And it says that the king had the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than normal. And it says that the guards who were forcing them on their way were slain. And they had to keep going forward. And God was making the crooked way straight while they were right there in the fire. You know, sometimes when the Lord makes a crooked way straight, it isn't so far ahead of us that we can see the pathway straight. Sometimes it's right in the moment. This is as crooked as it gets, and I don't know how to go. But as we follow the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit, even if it's walking into a fire, we know he's made it straight because we're still alive. Because we're still glorifying his name. Because we are trusting in him with our whole heart. We are not leaning to our own understandings here. We are trusting him with our whole heart. And he is making the way straight, even if it's walking through the fire. Oh. Wow. I thought that meant that we wouldn't have to go through the fires. You know? Come on, make the path straight. Well, that means I shouldn't have to go through hardship. That isn't what it meant. Sometimes that path is made straight one step at a time as we go. And the Lord just straightens it as we go. They just form into place, even if it leads us into the fire. Even if it leads us into a place where we think, well, this is going to be the end, Lord. But if we're trusting him with our whole heart, there isn't going to be any fear. You know, they could have ran back the other way when they got into that furnace. They were still alive. The guards were dead. They could have thought, well, I'm out of here, and ran back the way they came. But they weren't afraid because they weren't leaning to their own understanding that that fire was 7 times hotter, and they weren't even lived to jump into the fire. They weren't leaning on their own understandings or their own knowledge. They were in a place where they were solely trusting on the Lord, and they didn't care what the cost was. This is what it was to prepare the way of the Lord. It was making the sacrifice that was before them, and they were preparing the way of the Lord. They were preparing the way for him to be revealed in a huge way. Hallelujah. So in verse 24, we're going to skip down, and it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' And he said, 'Look.' He answered, 'I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God.'" Hallelujah. "The crooked way was made straight, even as they walked to the fire. And the glory of God was revealed to the king as they were alive and walking in the fire in victory and trusting the Lord." Hallelujah. And the king could only see. He could only see what was revealed to him, that Jesus was in the fire with him. The Son of God. The fourth man is like the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God.'" Listen to this. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, "Servant of the Most High God," because they were willing to walk the path that God had laid before them, because they prepared their hearts for the way of the Lord. God's power, his greatness was revealed in the fire. Oh, hallelujah. That gets me so excited. Not about the fire part, but you know, that God was performing a mighty act. Hallelujah. It said he turned near the fiery furnace and he spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And it said they came out of the midst of the fire. And it says in verse 27 that they gathered the king's, I don't even know how to say that word, satraps and administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. Their hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them. Oh, that's what I want. I want to be able to walk where God is leading me, even if it looks like it's the crooked places, and come out without smelling of disaster, without feeling like, well, I made it through there, but I'm a hot mess. Have you ever felt like that? I'm just a hot mess. No, I want to walk. I want to prepare the way of the Lord. And I want to do it through his anointing and through his presence, through trusting him with all my heart, that the smell of the fire doesn't even stick to me. That all that can be seen with me in the fire is the Son of God, is my Jesus, who carries me through every situation and who makes the ways before me straight. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. They weren't burned. They weren't singed. They weren't hurt in any way. The smell of smoke was not on them. I don't know how many of you guys made it to the campfire sides we did this summer, which I happen to enjoy. I love the time of getting together and fellowshipping. But let me tell you, when I went home at night, my jacket stunk like smoke. I had to take it off and leave it. I couldn't even take it into my room. The smell of smoke was so strong, and it bothered me. I had to leave it outside or in the car and then get rid of it and wash it the next day from just being around the smoke. Can you imagine being literally in the middle of where the smoke was generating? Of where the wood was burning, or whatever it was they were burning, was burning. And come out of it not singed. You know, Scott lit our gas boiler for us once in Mexico. And he came back and he had eyebrows singed, hair on his arms was all singed. His beard was smaller then. It was all singed. He's like, "I am never, ever doing that again. Ever. I'm done." Because just from one little whoosh, it singed him. His hair, it was just whoosh. But their hair, their turbans, nothing, nothing was singed, nothing was harmed, nothing was burned, and there was no smell of the fire on them. Oh, hallelujah. In Isaiah, verse 45:2, it says, and this is the Lord speaking, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. The key on this, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, and I will cut the bars of iron away, being barred to us. The king was talking to a servant named Cyrus, who didn't really know God, but God was using him. God knew him. God called him for this purpose. And this says God goes before us. Before us to make the crooked way straight. God had already prepared the way for these three Hebrew children. God knew what was going to happen. God knew what the king was going to do. Just like back in Egypt when all the plagues were brought against Egypt. God brought the plagues for a purpose. The purpose was changing the heart of Pharaoh the long way. God could have just skipped to killing all of the firstborns. God could have just skipped. But he was building up to something. He was preparing the way for his purpose. And they said he goes before us and makes the crooked places straight. But he was already making a way for the three Hebrew children. He already had a plan. He knew what was going to happen. Jesus, he is all ready. He's going to be right down there with them. Even from when they entered the walkway to get to the furnace, they didn't die. The Lord was with them at the very beginning of it. Praise the Lord. He had already prepared the way. You know, when we went to Mexico, before us, the way had been prepared. Because when my aunt was 21, she had gone to Mexico. She met the woman who was the pastor's wife of the pastor who we went to work with. The way was prepared that many years before he called us to go. That was before I was even born. And the Lord was preparing the way. He was making the way. And we just have to trust and know that he's prepared the way for wherever he's asking us to walk long before he asked us to be there. Maybe even before we were born, he prepared the way. He prepared it so that you could go through it and get to the other side. Oh, praise the Lord. And I will break the pieces and the gates. You know, where the enemy closes the door, the Lord will make a way in. Where the enemy puts up bars. What do bars represent to you? Prison. And where the enemy tries to put us in prison, the Lord will break the bars and we will be set free. God doesn't want his people bound in prisons of our own making, our own hate, our own unforgiveness, our own offense. He will break the bars to the prisons we create and set us free. It's what he does. It's what he's desirous to do. It's what he says he will do. But we have to trust in him. He goes before us, but we have to let him lead us. We have to let him go before us. Hallelujah. Or we'll end up in the crooked places without him leading us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes we take those crooked places because maybe they look easier. And sometimes we end up in those crooked places that we might not have had to walk by our own decisions. And sometimes we get ahead of God and God's got to wait until we go back to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding so that he can fulfill the second part of that verse. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the three Hebrew children walked right into the fire. It was not leading to their death, but to revelation and God being glorified. You know, the situations God leads us into, it's not for your death. It's not for your destruction, but for his glory to be revealed in you and me. We are here. We are on this earth. We are born to a purpose. We are born to a calling. And we are born so that he may be revealed through us and through the places where he leads us. But we have to trust him in those places. And I believe with all my heart that we are about to be led into some incredible places. And by incredible, I mean difficult and hard, and places where only the glory of God is going to be revealed, where there people around are going to see, woo, that's God, that's God, that's God that's got to be doing that. Oh, I see God in there. I see God walking through there. And I believe a time for the church, for the body of Christ unified, to rise up and walk in these places that he's going to make before us for his glory to be revealed. But we have to be willing to trust in him with all our hearts. We have to be willing to not lean to our own understanding. You know, on one of our mission trips, we went to El Rosario. We went to the next place. What's the name of that little place there? It escapes me. And then we went on another 8 hours to Vizcaíno. And they told us on our route, be sure and fill up with gas before you go. There's not a whole lot of gas stations. Well, they said there's not a lot. They didn't say there wasn't any. Okay, so, and going, for some reason, the direction of we're going, you get way better gas mileage. So we filled up and we went and we made it just fine, praise the Lord. Well, on the way back, and we noted there were not gas stations between these two places. We had to make it all the way back to El Rosario, which is an 8 to 10 hour drive depending on the amount of potty stops and food stops. And we gassed up in Vizcaíno before we headed back. Well, we're not yet to that little town that I can't remember their name. I don't know why I can't remember it. It's always hard for me to remember the name of that little town. But we have this marvelous little restaurant that we stop at. By marvelous, I mean owned by Christians, and the owner is delightful and she's precious. And we sit down and it has an old-fashioned little potbelly stove. And we sit by the stove while she cooks in the kitchen. And we didn't stop on the way back. We just stopped on the way there. Because by the time we hit that place, I'm looking at Scott and he's kind of got a distressed look in his eye. And I look at him and I ask him, what's up? He goes, just start praying. Okay, what am I praying for? He says, well, the gas is empty, so I think we're going to pray to the next gas station. So we begin to pray together. We're not telling my parents. And we just begin praying. Okay, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. He goes, I believe he's going to do this, Janine. We can do this. Let's just pray. Let's trust the Lord. Let's pray. I'm like, okay, I'm with you. I believe with you. We'll believe together. And we began just making that drive on empty. And it's from this little town to the next one we want to go is 2.5 hours. And we drove on empty with the gas light on for 2.5 hours. For 2.5 hours. We just kept looking at each other going, we're still going, praise the Lord, we're still going. We'd come up to that little town, we're still going, praise the Lord, we're still going. God's going to do this, God's going to do this. Because we weren't trusting on what we knew. That car was out of gas a long time ago. It was very heavy, it was very full, and apparently we were going up. There was no gas left in that car. And we were so excited when we got back to the gas station. Scott jumps out of the car, and the gas attendant was one of the men that had been in church services with us a few days before, a week before. Scott just jumps out of the car, and he wraps his arms around him, and he hugs him, and he's just like, glory to God, we got here on no gas! And the guy's like, what? Because we didn't trust what we knew, in our opinion, was an impossible moment. You know, I mean, by our knowledge, the car doesn't run when there's no gas in it, right? I mean, when that little red light comes on and that little thing, that little meter thing's all the way down to the bottom, you know you better get to a gas station now because you don't have far to go. We had 2.5 hours still to go. Catavina. That's the name of the city. Catavina. And 2.5 hours from Catavina to El Rosario. And the Lord took us in that weighted down car on empty. But if I believe with all my heart, if we'd have doubted for 1 minute, if we'd have said, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my God, it's never going to make it. Oh no. Oh no. I believe we absolutely wouldn't have made it. I believe the car would have stopped because we would have blocked what God was doing by our lack of trust and our fear. And that's what happens when we doubt, when we fear, when we worry, we block. We put a prison around ourselves and we block what the Lord's doing. The Lord was doing a miracle that I am now testifying about. And maybe this miracle will inspire you when you have a moment where you know the only answer is a miraculous miracle of God. But if we block the way, if we allow the enemy to stir up fear and to stir up doubt or whatever it is he's stirring up and put us in a prison, we're blocking the hand of God by our own fear and our own doubt. Because in this moment, we're not trusting him. We're not leaning on him. We're trusting our own understanding of the situation. And if the Hebrew boys would have trusted their own understanding of the situation, they'd have been up in smoke. We'd have been reading about three men who gave their life as a sacrifice to God. The story, martyrdom, the story would have been over. But it's so much more powerful that they lived and walked in the fire with Jesus and came out unharmed, unsinged, unburned to testify of the glory of the God that there is only one God. The only God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. You know, He is the way maker and he will make a way. It doesn't matter what doors the enemy closes or what he tries to bar up. The Lord will break the bars if you will trust him. The Lord will open the doors before you if you will trust him. Hallelujah. In Psalms 32:8. The word says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I find that a very peculiar ending of the sentence. I will guide you with my eye. Isn't that kind of peculiar? This is my take. He sees what we can't see. We can't trust our eyes to guide us through the crooked places. We can't trust our eyes to find the exit or to find the right way to go. He is guiding us with his eye that sees and that knows all things. He knows what lies before us. He knows what is behind us. He knows to tell us when to go this way or when to go that way. He makes the crooked places straight because he can see what we cannot see. And he can do what we cannot do. You know, his word says that our ways are not his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Hallelujah. I'd rather his eye guide me than my eyes. I would rather walk blindfolded and be led by his eye than trust my two eyes and not have his. Hallelujah, right? I want his eyes. I want what he sees. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The three Hebrew children had been instructed in the ways of the Lord their whole lives. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. They knew the Torah. They were doing and living for the Lord in a place of slavery the best they possibly could. And the word says that they were upright men. They feared the Lord. And I'm sure God was leading them and speaking to them and encouraging them through this. I'm sure that he was encouraging them, don't bow to that, don't bow to that idol, don't go there. Don't you believe, don't you worry about that king, I got it. You just do what it is you're doing. You just do what I've taught you. You just do what's been sowed into you. You just do what's been spoke into you. Don't fear. I've got you. You know that when somebody says to you, don't move. Don't move. Don't turn around. What's the first thing we do? What is it? Get him off of me. Right? Right? There's just something in us that instinctually makes us do the opposite. But they didn't. They didn't falter. They stuck to the path the Lord had put them on, and they were faithful where the Lord had them. They were faithful in this place, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And because they were faithful, because they didn't trust their own understanding, because they didn't trust their own ways, the Lord was revealed in such a mighty way that the king had to confess the glory of God. He had to confess that God was the true God. There was no other answer. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 16:9, the word says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes and directs his steps." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we make a plan. I'm the planner queen. I make a plan for everything. I make a plan as I'm praying before I ever got the answers. I'm writing a plan out. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm writing a plan. And then as the Lord begins to speak to me and as the Lord begins to lead me, I start crossing stuff off. I start changing the plan. But I make a plan. Hallelujah. But the Lord is who establishes or directs my steps. Hallelujah. We can make all the plans we want to as long as we're willing to turn away from our plans and follow His plan. In Isaiah 30:21, the Lord says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." Now that's peculiar to me. We read a verse that says, His eye is on us, directing us. And we read a verse about He's going to make the crooked ways straight before us. And now this says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. You know, when we get ahead, when we've ran ahead, the Lord is behind us and He's speaking to us, don't go that way, go this way. Because He's behind us, we've ran ahead. And so from behind us, He has to direct us what way to go. Hallelujah. And He's faithful to do this. This is the way, walk in it. And whenever we turn to the left, or we turn to the right hand, or whenever we turn to the left hand, when we're about to go the way we shouldn't go, that voice will be there to say, hey, 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 no, 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 not that way. Go that way. Go that way. Go that way. He doesn't, when we get out ahead of Him, He doesn't tear us down. He doesn't pull us down. He just speaks the right way for us to go. Oh, that is so good. That is so good. God is so tender, and He is so gentle, and He is so caring. You know, He could just jerk the chain I'm attached to. He's got me on those leashes that you push the button and you can just run till you get to the end of it, and then you get stopped. But you can push that button and it'll stop at 2 feet. He could just stop me at 2 feet and jerk me back. I've done that to a dog or two. But He doesn't do that to us. He just lets us run. And then He says, hey, 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 don't go that way. Go this way instead. Go this way instead. But we have to be listening to that voice. We have to be listening to that voice. Hallelujah. But He will be faithful no matter how far ahead we've run. He will be faithful to speak to us. That's my take on behind us. In Isaiah 58:11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." This is one of those promises. The Lord will guide you continually. This one doesn't say like the other one, the first part. This is the Lord's part. He is making you this promise. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. But the first half of that goes back to that other verse. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him. When we are trusting in Him, when we are acknowledging Him, this is what He does to us. Doesn't matter if we're walking through a drought. It doesn't matter if we're walking through a fire. As long as we are walking, trusting in Him, He will make the crooked places straight. He will make us like a tree planted beside the waters. We won't know drought. We won't know famine because He will take care of us. Whew, that is powerful. Strengthen your bones. Like a water garden. Do you know a water garden is always green? It's always bearing fruit or bearing flowers. It's always bearing and producing. We are to always be bearing and producing. Holy Spirit wants to always have us producing, bearing fruit. Hallelujah. Because what happens with the fruit from the garden? It nourishes the people around it. We are to be a nourishment to the people around us. We are to bring nourishment. We are to bring strength. We are to bring comfort. And we are to bring joy to all those around us. Nothing like fresh flowers on a table to bring joy to my heart. I just love seeing fresh flowers on the table. Cut from the garden. Cut from beside the road. You know, God wants us to bring joy and peace. Or broken off a tree. Last year, I was collecting dogwood branches, and Marty was riding home with me one night, and I told her, I got to stop here, Marty. Why? What are you doing? Oh, you know me. She said, what, you going to get a rock? No, it's not a rock this time. It's usually a rock, but not this time. She's like, what the heck are you going to do? I said, well, you see that little tree out there? It's in the woods. It's nobody's tree. I need a couple of those branches. She's, you what? I need those branches. I want those dogwood branches. I love dogwoods, and I want to put a beautiful spray of dogwood branches on my table. She's like, I don't even know what to say to that, Janine. As I park the car and run out over the street, off to the other side, into the little woods, and I try to pull this little tree down so I can break off the dogwood branches. Totally get that, Bruce. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 48:17, the word says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Lord God who teaches you to profit. Do you know what means to profit? It means to gain, to have excess, to have gain. He teaches us to gain. He teaches us to grow, to profit, to be profitable, to be fruitful. He teaches us that. From the minute we come to the Lord, He begins working in us to profit us, to cause us to grow, to cause us to gain, to cause us to flourish, to cause us to flower, to bloom, to bear fruit. From the second we start walking with Him, He is faithful to stir this in us. Hallelujah. He teaches us to gain, to grow, and to be blessed. But we have to follow where He leads us to profit. The blessing is gained. Praise the Lord. With this verse, I'm going to close. Luke 3, verses 4 and 6. It says, it is written in the book, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is where that song comes from. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. 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 Make His path straight. We are to make our lives, our hearts straight, upright, righteous, holy before the Lord through His Son. We are to prepare the way for the work that He is going to do in us and through us. Praise the Lord. It says, every valley shall be filled, or we sing, every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This was John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, leading people to the Lord, drawing people to the Lord, preparing the way for Jesus. Oh, prepare your hearts, people. Prepare your hearts. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, because He wants to move through you. He wants to work through you for His glory and for His purposes. The message is still the same today. Repent. Be saved. Jesus lives. Jesus lives, and he is the answer to your problem. If you're alone, he's your friend and he's your comforter. If you've been abandoned, he has no orphans. You are his. You are part of his family. If you've been hurt, he's your healer. If you're afraid and you have doubt, he is your warrior. He will fight for you. He will tear down prison cells, and he will tear down the doors before you that you might come to him. And that you might know him, whatever it is you're going through, wherever you're at in life, he is the way. Prepare the way. Prepare your heart for him, because he's moving. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good, and it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've gone through. He will not reject you. No matter how hurt you've been or how broken you've been, he's your healer. He is your healer. There is nothing that is impossible for him to heal. There is no heart so burdened down or so broken or so unfixable that he can't heal it. Oh, praise the Lord. And if you have a need tonight, and you're here or you're sitting at home watching this, and if you have a need tonight, I am telling you, he is the way maker. He is the way maker, and if you will trust in him, he will keep that half of the promise for you. If you trust in him, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't listen to your voice saying, oh, there is no God, or he's not able. He might love everybody else, but not me. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I know what he did. He died for your sins. He died that you could know him, and he is the way maker. Hallelujah. And all you have to do is lift your hands to him and say, Jesus, I need you. You are my Savior. I receive you as my Savior. Fill my heart. Show me your love. Help me prepare the way. Help me prepare my heart. Use me, and he will be faithful. He will be faithful, because he is faithful and he is true. Let's just close with prayer tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. We just glorify you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're the way maker. I thank you that you are my healer. You are my Savior. You are my friend. You are my brother. You are my strength. You are my provision, and you are my provision. You are the answer to every need, and I thank you for that, Father. Lord, I ask that you just stir in the hearts of your people here and the people watching. Lord, I ask you to stir in their hearts, stir in their hearts. There is somebody watching tonight. I don't know who you are, but I know the Lord is speaking to you. I know that you feel unloved, and I know you feel unwanted, and I know you feel that there is no hope, but the Lord is speaking to you tonight. He's saying he is your hope. He loves you. He died for you. He will fill your needs. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Just simply call out to him, and he will meet you where you're at. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you, and we just glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Father, for all that you are. We ask you to have your way in our lives. Have your way in us. Help us, Lord, to prepare the way. Oh, Father, help us to prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, we glorify your name, and we worship you this evening, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for watching with us. We love you. We're your church home here, a new beginning. Come on down. Get on over here if you can. And if not, we're happy to have you watching us from Facebook. God bless you, and have a good night.